My name is Imani. I am 9 years old. Today is the 23rd of November 2017, and I'm speaking with Danny and Joanne, who are my grandparents. We are recording this in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. Tell me about a teacher or other adult who had a big impact in your life while you were growing up.
So I had a teacher when I was in college that I liked very much. And so I decided to, when I wanted to go become a psychologist, I asked him if I could do research with him, and he said yes. And then he helped me do a research project, and that helped me get into graduate school. Because I went to graduate school with his teacher who had taught him. And I probably wouldn't have gotten in graduate school if I hadn't worked with my teacher, who helped me to work with his teacher.
What was the project?
The project was, it was a psychology project, and it was about vestibular sway. Now that's a complicated thing, but it's something that your Uncle Willie also worked on. And what happens is, if you put a little tiny bit of electricity behind your ears, then you sway back and forth, back and forth. And it's related to learning how people learn things, like how you're conditioned, like Pavlov did with the dogs. And it's also related to how you balance yourself and stand upright. And it's related, Willie found it's related to your sleep. If you have trouble sleeping, it can be related to problems with your inner ear that helps you stand up straight. Okay, Grandma, you want to?
Well, there were two really special teachers in my life. The first one was in sixth grade. I had a teacher by the name of Mrs. Avalon, and she was known as a really, really strict teacher, and I was kind of afraid when I ended up in her class, because everybody said, "Oh, she's going to make you work so hard," and I just remember this as a kid and being really worried and not sure if I could do the work that I needed to do and be successful. But what I found was that she was strict and she did have high standards, but she was also really fair. And when I had a hard time learning something, she was open to helping me, which seems like such a silly thing, but it was about expectations and also about the importance of teachers. And then, when I was in college, I had an English teacher, and, she apparently thought I was a really good writer, and it kind of built my self-confidence and I think improved my writing because the professor thought I wrote well. So those are the two teachers that really I think helped me and gave me confidence.
Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood and what you were like as a child, like around my age, 9 years old?
Well, I was, back in those days, girls normally wore dresses and did girly things. And I didn't like to do those things. I liked to do things like put things together or build things or ride my bicycle or explore the woods near my house. So I was kind of quiet. I was, I guess, an introvert and shy, but I liked to play ball and do lots of things that other girls didn't always like to do. But I still had friends, and I think I had a happy childhood because I got to explore the world from my own eyes.
Well, I was sort of the opposite of Grandma because I wasn't very good at playing sports and stuff, and most boys were, so I felt kind of out of it that way. But I liked school, and I did pretty good in school, so that was fun. And I also liked Boy Scouts, and you could go camping, and you could play with other kids, and that was important to me.
Can you tell me about, like, one story or something you remember your great-grandparents, my great-grandparents?
Well, I think for me, it's the story of my father's mother coming to the United States. She was from Austria and near Germany, and she was the first one in her family that came to the United States. She came through Canada, and back in those days, they didn't make such a big deal about undocumented immigrants. So she was one. She was 12 years old when she came to the United States by herself, and and she worked really hard. She met my grandfather, who was a little older than her, she was never very proficient in English, but she was a wicked good sewer, and lots of other things as well. She was a really gentle, kind, loving grandma, and someone that I try to model myself off of. But she was an amazing person, and she brought the rest of her family, which cost a lot of money. She and my grandfather brought them here because they're being, they're being persecuted and starved to death. So.
Did she push you around in a wheelbarrow?
What? Yeah, she pushed me around in a wheelbarrow when I was a little kid. And yeah, she was a dog whisperer too.
Well, my favorite grandmother, I call Grammy just like your grandma, called her grandma Grammy. And they, after my grandparents retired from living in the city, they moved to the country in New Hampshire where they had grown up. And so they had a little farm with lots of animals, and I always liked animals. And they had, one time they had two pigs. And the other grandchildren with me decided we would name the pigs. And we named it Mabel and Charlie, because one was a boy, one was a girl. And after we had named the pigs, and called them this for quite a while, then we discovered later that these good friends of my grandparents were called Mabel and Charlie. They were the people, but they had the same name as the pigs. And there was one other story about names. My grandfather got a cow, and I thought of it as my cow because I took care of it a lot and everything. And its name, it came with a name, but the name of the cow was Margaret Truman, who there used to be, a long time ago, President Harry Truman, and his daughter was called Margaret. And so the cow was named after the president's daughter.
So, kind of like both of you, like, you are a really good sewer, like your great-grandma.
My grandma.
Like your grandma was. And you also have, like, a doppelganger of names, because Lori Fernald, who is a
psychologist,
like you were.
Yeah, we discovered that on the internet.
So what are you proudest of, like professionally and personally in your life? Like maybe either combined or like one professionally and one personally?
Professionally, I am proudest of the work that I did at UNC Charlotte. And I think I helped the campus become more accessible for people with disabilities. And personally, I am most proud of my family because I am incredibly blessed to have the most amazing family.
I am proud professionally that I worked for a long time at UNC Charlotte, and I love teaching, and I had lots of students who I think I helped shape their lives, and I'm very happy that I had a positive impact on lots of students.
How many years did you work?
About 40 years. Not, the last part was part-time rather than full-time, but that was a wonderful career. It was made me, I was very happy to be at UNCC, and I never became a full professor, which is what most people want to be, but I didn't care because I liked what I was doing and I felt I was being a good teacher and I helped shape the lives of lots of students. So that gave me great satisfaction, even if the other people, I didn't have lots of journal articles and wasn't ever a full professor, but I didn't really care because I was happy that I had meaningful impact on lots of students. And then personally, the best thing is to have two wonderful daughters that I'm so happy and proud of because they grew up to be beautiful people and meaningful lives, and that and our whole family makes me very proud.
So it seems like you both are very proud of things in both ways.
Mm-hmm. You want me to ask this? Yeah. Okay. I think this is a funny question. Can you tell us about the dumbest thing you ever did in your life?
I can't think of that.
Okay, maybe that's a bad question. Maybe it's
maybe it's something that was kind of crazy that you did. Maybe it's not necessarily the smartest thing you did in your life.
Can you tell us about a crazy thing that you did in your life?
Crazy thing we did.
So we are part of a blended family, and when we were first dating, we were going to visit friends of Grandpa's, and it was right around Halloween, and we decided to get dressed up.
It wasn't going to be a dress-up party, costume party, but we decided we would go in costumes anyway.
So we decided to cross-dress. So I got dressed up like Grandpa, which, you know, I looked quite handsome. Grandpa, on the other hand.
I put on a dress, and I thought it was quite beautiful for pretending to be a woman, except Becca, our daughter Becca, thought I looked very poorly dressed because my dress had a very low cut neckline, and I had a hairy chest, and she thought that was very unbecoming and a very unfashionable way to dress, even if you were cross-dressing.
She really thought he should be wearing a very pretty blouse instead.
Which reminds me of another silly thing that happened with Becca. Well, I don't remember. She asked a silly question. We won't go into details. No. But it ended up, we had a food fight afterwards that I don't know if she put mushrooms in my ears.
No, you put mushrooms in your ears, and then the food started flying across the room.
That was a very silly time.
So, were the other, when you... So once you got, once you met them, were they dressed up too?
The other people at the party?
No.
No, they were dressed just like ordinary folks, like you would go out on a Saturday night. They looked very normal. They were a little stunned at what we looked like.
And I remember your mom was pretty shocked. She said, "Who is this woman that you are dating?" Because my father was always very proper and professorial, and now that he's dating this wild child, Joanne, he's gone wild and is doing strange things like cross-dressing.
That's true.
Could you say something like that?
Well, it was very unusual and uncharacteristic of my very serious father. But now I look back and I realize at all of the joy that she was bringing into his life and bringing about a silly side too.
Okay, is that enough?
I want to ask that one.
Okay, the timer is going. That was like 20 minutes.
Yeah, no, it times it. It's there's only one more after this. This should
okay,
be.
Do you want me to turn?
Sean, can you get the kitchen timer? Just turn off the timer.
Kitchen timer.
Okay, what I want to know this one. What are your hopes and wishes for your children and grandchildren and your grandchildren's children?
That they grow up and thrive and find the thing that they feel passionate about, so when they go to work they are joyful, and that they are serving the greater good and making the world a better place. But I also hope and pray that they will find the world a more loving, tolerant, and accepting place than we are in right now.
So I hope, on the one hand, that they find personal joy and satisfaction in whatever they do and whatever work or activities that they have. But it's also, I'm also proud when they do something that has an impact on the world, that makes the world a better place. So I really like, for example, what your mom does. I think she has a really great impact and has ripple effects that affect the whole world. So that makes me very happy.
So this is the last one.
This is an original question. Oh.
This is one that I wrote for it to be in here. So here it says, what is your favorite Thanksgiving, since it's Thanksgiving today, or really any holiday, Thanksgiving especially, but like, and what is one of your favorite like holiday traditions that has absolutely just nothing to do with foods, like something special? It's not like special food, like the cranberry and orange relish we would make, that we make, like, almost every year. So that's kind of a tradition, but something that doesn't have to do with food.
Well, one of my favorite things is we make a Christmas card every year. So we talk about what would be the right Christmas card for telling other people what our life is like. And oftentimes it's been a picture that Grandma has drawn. I really like when Grandma draws or paints. So that's one of my favorite traditions, is making a special Christmas card, especially when Grandma, her art is a part of it. And we're hoping that will happen this year, but maybe debate takes a lot of time. Okay.
I'm kind of coming up blank. A non-food, when you said non-food, I just, my brain went to food.
What about ornaments in the tree?
Okay, that's true. So over the course of my adult life, I have collected ornaments, and some of the ornaments are from friends or, ones that our grandchildren made for us. Some of them are from my childhood that, you know, my mother gave me, or similar to ones that I know that hung on my grandmother's tree. So every year when I open up the box of ornaments, I think about all of those different experiences and people, and remember them dearly.
Cool. That's kind of similar to us, because we also have a tradition where I write Christmas cards every year. And also we have an ornament tradition where we get three new ornaments every year, one for each kid. The oldest one, Tallulah, gets a...
What's Tallulah get, Sean? A bird?
A bird. The youngest one gets a plant, and the middle one gets
a mammal.
So we get one of those ornaments every year.
That's cool.
And that's a tradition that Sean and his girls had done before. And so when we joined their family, then Imani became part of that tradition too.
And I became the youngest. Okay. And that's it. Thank you.
Wait, let's hit done. Hit done, please.
Thank you for letting me interview you.
You're welcome. It was
fun.
Thank you.